Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, this chapter, I don't know if the chapter's hung on to us or we've hung on to it, however it is. We're going to try to get done with this chapter tonight and seeing things here, that the Lord used Solomon to write, the preacher, and he speaking to his children, or if you will, the Lord in his word speaking to us as his children. And some of these things are reiterated from previous passages. It's that way. The Lord knows that we need it. Sometimes it's worded differently. We'll even see some verses tonight that are that way. Same kind of point, but worded differently in the Scripture, dealing with issues that we deal with in life. That's what this book is about, is just what God thinks about us living life, what His thinking is, and I think we really see the directive of the Lord to us in this book. We left off last time after verse number 20, and we'll go ahead and read this verse. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. And we talked about poverty, and we talked about how the Scripture does say in Proverbs 19 that wealth maketh many friends. The operation and way of the world is such that has a draw. That's what the world is looking for, the world system and man in general. The poor is separated from his neighbor, it says there in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4. And so poverty is and always will be. The Lord tells us as much. The Lord tells us how we should, where the Lord blesses us with such, how we are to give alms. The first church did so. The Lord directed for it to be done. He was pitiful and not in a bad way, but sensitive to that. We've even experienced here recently how we were presented with a case, and we were benevolent in that, and I believe we should have been with what we were told and what we knew. And there is a sense we kind of got took. Well, the Lord will take care of that, okay? We can trust Him in that. When we know the information, then we can deal with it. And so, and we always need to pray that the Lord will give us wisdom and help in all things, including these. Poverty can come by carelessness and by slothfulness or by circumstance. It can be. We may have a great provision and very comfortable provision in one month, and then the next month life totally turn around. We've seen that in others. You maybe experienced it in your family, your own home. And so we know that can be. Poverty in and of itself, especially that which comes by circumstance, as we would say, just being human beings, poverty doesn't mean that a person is less. Okay, it doesn't mean that it's less, and so it's great, of great importance for us to not be respecter of persons in that. This next verse talks to us some about that, and indeed the plight of poverty can be difficult indeed. I always keep in mind that there are many ways to be poor. We always think about provision and stuff, but we can be poor in other ways too. We can be poor in tact. We can be poor in how we deal with people. We can be poor in wisdom and knowledge. This whole book is talking to us about wisdom and understanding and knowledge and prudence and discretion. We can be poor that way too, and it'll hurt us. It'll affect us, and it'll even go on from us, even on to our children and beyond. And so we need the wisdom and help of the Lord. We need to understand that if we do lack from the standpoint of the stuff of life, it doesn't make someone, our life does not consist of the things that we possess. Okay? It's a blessing of the Lord, and we need to use that blessing well. Verse number 21, he that despises his neighbor sinneth. No respect, no a contempt, a dislike, a hatred. You know, if because of the way they part their hair, or maybe they do have less, or this, that, and the other. If someone that's of a poor behavior, someone that doesn't live well and righteously, you know, we may have to guard our family from such, and we need to beware. Some of the Scripture does talk to us about marking men, and there's reasons for that. And so there's the balance. All this goes in here together. But if we despise our neighbor without a cause, if you will, if we just from who they belong to or the side of the tracks they come from or such as that, we sin. The scripture, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. There's a blessing in that. There's a blessing in that. A couple scriptures, or a handful of scriptures, just want to read here and consider real quick. Listen, Proverbs 19, verse 17. We've read the scripture before. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Okay, so I claim that promise. I look to that. With the information that we have and the situations that we deal with, the Lord will pay that back, and he will provide above and beyond, I think, what we give. If we lend to the, it's a lending to the Lord in that. And so we've got that promise. If we have other things that are there in our face that we don't deal with wisely, then we may suffer some losses. Other scriptures that talk about that here to come. In Proverbs 21:13, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, we might be tempted to do that, having been, in the vernacular, burned. All right? We need to be careful. We need to follow the leadership of the Lord. We need to not just say, no, that's it, I'm done. Don't do that. Don't go there. There's times of testing for us. Are we listening to self, or are we listening to the Lord? The Lord's leadership is always what we need to seek. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Wow, look out. If the situation can be swapped, the Lord, he can work on all those details, can he? In Proverbs 22, verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. And so we need to be a benevolent, bountiful people. There in Proverbs 22, 1 down to verse 16, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich, see, now look at that. Someone, and maybe it's a stretch, but I would take that. We get someone that's not using what they have in a right way, but using what they have to do something else rather than taking care of the necessary business of their home, provision. Maybe we don't need to give to that. Okay, and we don't. He said, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, okay, that's one subject. He that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. I remember that in school, and it was so. There were those children, and their folks had great jobs, and they had everything that they wanted. There was, for our age group and the time of our life, there was nothing that they wanted for and all that. Well, because they were well off, there were always the cut of the children in our age group and where I went to school. Maybe I'm sure you've seen this yourself, that would always want to give to them to be their friend. They were always looking to gain to be their friend because they were popular. They had all that. Doing that is foolish. It's foolish to give things to that to he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. And so the Lord gives us good instruction there. On down in that chapter in Proverbs 22, it says in verse number 22, rob not the poor because he is poor. Don't rob him because he's an easy target. Don't do that. It is so that over in Syria, the situation over there is just terrible. Just a terrible, terrible situation that the refugees that are in that whole region and fleeing from the fighting and such as that, it's just, you and I have no, we have no idea being citizens and having been lived and brought up in this country, we have no idea what some of those people are facing. It's terrible. They become targets because they're easy targets. Because they're refugees in that situation, and then they get a little bit of sustenance and such as that, and because of their distress, because of their weakness, because of their sickness, because of not having a man in the house, possibly you have a mother with children alone, become an easy target. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. The Lord's looking out for that kind of thing. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. Oh my. That wickedness that's going on there, as we mentioned in Syria and such as that. Unless the Lord saves those wicked ones that would take advantage of those that are in great distress like that. And over the millennia, there have been those that have done so. Standing before the Lord and giving an account for that, He will avenge it. He will avenge the principle of it because He hates it. He will plead their cause. And I believe it'll be a situation where, see, this is just a standard of the Lord. Whether the one that's being abused this way is saved or not has nothing to do with it. Because this is the way of God. The Lord, He wants mercy and not wickedness compounded. We want to reference here in our chapter we're looking at in Proverbs 14. Look quickly down to verse 31. Let's go ahead and get that in here now. And this is a good verse to just close out this subject with. He that oppresses the poor, verse 31 of chapter 14, he that oppresses the poor reproacheth his maker. Okay? That's just not talking about the saved. That's talking about everybody. Because we've all been made by the Lord. He that oppresses the poor reproacheth his maker, brings reproach upon the Creator, and he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. See, we got to remember always in this, just in this subject about dealing with the poor, understand that in one way, in one form or another, we are all poor, namely spiritually. And then there's been times that we have maybe had physical need or lack ability in things that the Lord has been merciful to save us, give us the stuff of life, and then help us to learn and to grow. We saw much about that in the beginning of this book about God is not pleased with a flunky. Hear that? God is not pleased with the ignorant. Ignorance is not bliss. The Lord made us to pursue and to do and to learn. And life should be about learning. Don't ever quit learning. That's a blessing from God. We've been, as mankind, we've been created in the image and likeness of God. And this doesn't matter saved or not saved. We've been given to pursue and to do and to have dominion over this earth to the honor and glory and praise of God. That's what everybody's been created for. And so to be a goof off, to be a sloth, to be a flunky, to be ignorant, it's not pleasing to God. We're given to pursue. And so we've all lacked in many, many, in different ways. We certainly all have lacked spiritually. And what has the Lord done? When we could not, He did. Amen? For us. When we didn't have a clue we even needed it, the Lord was merciful to us. Amen? And to sinners. And so we need to always remember that. In verse number 22 of chapter 14, do they not err that devise evil? God's watching. God's keeping track. The Lord's keeping books and records, the scripture says. He's paying attention. And plus, He's got a stellar memory, doesn't He? The Lord's keeping track. Do they not err that devise evil, that create it and make it up? But mercy and truth shall be unto them that devise good. Good things. Good things. The fruit of the Spirit that speaks along this line that comes to mind is virtue. To be virtuous. Do you want to do good? Do you want to do that which is a blessing? That's the standard of it. Is it a blessing to your neighbor? Is it a blessing to your brother and sister in Christ? Is it a praise and honor and glory to the Lord? That's where we should be found. That's what pleases the Lord just from the standpoint of obedience to Him, not the devising of evil and wickedness, not the pursuit of that. God hates that. And then verse 23, here it is. We've referred to it a lot in different times, brought it up, I think, in other messages in verse 23, in all labor there is profit. Work, work. We're given to work. In labor, there's gain. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Talk is cheap. Bottom line. Talk's cheap, isn't it? We can say and boast and boast and boast. James talks to us about the tongue. But what we do is what shows. How we behave, our conversation in our life, what we think and how that's manifested in the out of our mouth and in our life, that's what shows. Talk's cheap. Talk is indeed cheap. Verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches. It's said by those in business that and those that are that are very wealthy and they don't need anything more from the standpoint of life, but it's said in business by those that are in business and do much business that simply the wealth or the money is the way they keep score. They don't need anything more in life. They can only wear, as one farmer that my father-in-law knew of when he was a child that had a lot of acreage, had a lot of people sharecropping for him and all that. And he was confronted by some of those that worked for him. And they said, you know, it must be nice to be so wealthy. And he said, I can only drive one car at a time, and I can only wear one shirt and one pair of pants, and I can only eat one meal when I sit down. You know, he had beyond what he needed, okay? But he had what he needed, and he had the burden and care and responsibility for many, many families all over. And that kept him running. He would wear cars out, tending to the people and the families. That was back in the day that has passed by. Because if there was a child that was sick in a family, he knew about it. And if they needed something, he got it because he took care of the people that worked for him. And so the crown of the wise is their riches. Yeah, he had much wealth. And it was to his account that he had taken what he had inherited from his family and then worked with that, continuing on well. It is a witness of the wisdom that's there. But foolishness is the fool. Foolishness of fools is folly. That's kind of like redundant, isn't it? The foolishness of fools is folly. It's empty, silliness and a wasting of time, the wasting of life. Terrible thing to see a young person, isn't it, doing nothing with their life. It's a waste of life, been given by God, and just filled with folly, filled with foolishness, filled with nothing. No change, no advancement, no pursuit. Verse 25, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. A true witness delivereth souls. Well, that's a weighty verse, isn't it? There's another passage over here in Proverbs chapter 24 that I want to go ahead and bring up. If you want, you can turn there. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Listen to what this passage says here. Proverbs 24, verses 10 through 12. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Because see, it's in the day of adversity that shows what we're made of. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for thee. Praise the Lord. The Lord prayed for him. Amen. Satan is making the accusation before the Lord that Peter's just a bunch of chaff. But the Lord knew different. The Lord knew he had saved Peter, didn't he? You know, it's when trial and temptation, when hardship, when the things that we would never expect comes along, that's when it proves our faith. Talk is cheap. When things are easy, as the song goes, we're on the mountaintop, life is easy. But it's down in the valley is when it gets shook out what we are, what we have, what we possess. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death, and those that are ready to be slain. You know, we can take that certainly in the literal sense. There's some great tragedy, some calamity at hand. You can help somebody and don't. And may the Lord help us. We never know what we'll do in a great strait. May the Lord help us that we just not run in circles, scream and shout, but we'll do something. Amen. May the Lord help. I mean, it takes the grace and the help of the Lord to do so. But when we know that there's somebody there that's in a great strait, and we forbear to deliver them that are drawn to death and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Listen, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Brother Stephen made a reference in his Sunday school class Sunday morning about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, about the Word of God. And he challenged us to consider, not to consider that passage just as the physical Word of God, the Bible, but to consider about the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, and this verse kind of speaks to that end, doesn't it? Doesn't the Lord really know what's going on inside? He does he not reckon what's going on in the heart and in the soul and in the mind? Doesn't he know the truth? Yeah, he knows the truth. We know the truth. We might lie to ourselves at times, but we know the truth and the Lord knows the truth. Mm-mm-mm. May God help us. We need his help. A true witness delivereth souls. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. When it's tested and we faint, then we don't have the strength that we said that we had or that we maybe spoke about. Again, talk's cheap. It's interesting these verses are close. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death, those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, I didn't know. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? I tell you what, the greatest application of the scripture is we know that sinners are dying and going to hell. And I know about the grace of God. I know about the working of God. But they do need to be told. And God is the Lord has put them in our lives for a reason. We are the path that crosses over that path. And so the folks that you know are the folks whose path you've been put to mingle with. As we mentioned in that verse there in 1 Thessalonians about it was Sunday morning, about that word that talked about weaving, will we not talk to them about it? Will we shun to give them the gospel that is the only way their souls can be saved? And the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, will we back off? When the Lord challenges, we need to be a witness to all. But especially when the Lord tells us to do so, we need to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in chapter 14, verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. What? In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence? Hey, if I stand and live in my life trusting in the power of Almighty God, who do I have to fear? Right? It's the Lord that gets me there, keeps me here, and will take me on to be with Him when it's time. It's the Lord that gives me a mouth to speak and the desire and the pursuit to work. It's the Lord that can help me, and I can go to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need, can I? Amen? Yeah, it's the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, not confidence in self, not pride. Well, I've arrived. After all, I'm the Lord's. Oh, we've certainly been blessed, but it's not to be a prideful thing. The Lord's been gracious and merciful to us, made us His children. And we can have confidence in Him. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And listen, I love this. And His children shall have a place of refuge. When nobody else understands, when nobody else can sympathize, as we've seen before, the Lord Jesus Christ can He? He knows. You can tell the Lord anything, can't you? You know why it's safe with the Lord? Because He already knows. Right? Amen? He knows every whit of it. Inside and out. He knows. We can be open and honest with him. Oh, child of God, don't ever think that, and don't ever pursue a track that then we can. We're going to pursue a track where we would hide from the Lord. You don't need to hide from the Lord. It's foolishness. He already knows. And we can bare our souls, can't we? And many examples that we've taken a look at over the months and years about those that were honest with the Lord. Isaiah, who had believed our report. he's not being brash or cocky with the Lord. He's just being honest. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I think he's kind of distressed. I'm preaching, I'm witnessing to this nation, and we're heading towards certain doom. Nobody's hearing it. We could feel that way as the Lord's church and the Lord's people in this day. Who's listening? Well, we just need to keep on telling it, don't we? That's right. We need to keep on telling it. His children shall have a place of refuge. Some passages here. Psalms is just full of them. And one here in Jeremiah. Let me read. Psalms 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. Psalms 46:7 and 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Think about that. God Almighty, who created everything. If you're a child of God, he's your refuge. You can, a refuge, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, right? Top lady, right? He wrote that song. We understand that he was in a storm and there was this outcropping of rock and got in there and he was blessed to write that song. And the Lord is that way. We can have a refuge in the Lord, a protection. Help in any case. Psalms 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress in God, my God, in him will I trust. Psalms 91, verses 9 through 10, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, where he lives, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Psalms 94, verse 22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Psalms 142, verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Hey, you can spend some time about talking about the Lord being our portion. He's everything to us. Is he not? He's everything. He's our portion. I say it again, the Lord, the greatest blessing in being saved by the Lord and being made his child is that God has given himself to us. That's the greatest thing. That's the greatest thing, is that God has taken us to himself and has given us himself. In Jeremiah 16:19, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, praise the Lord, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. There's just no help in the world, is there? But I tell you what, there's everything in the Lord. Everything. Every single thing. He's an expert at it all, and we can go to him with all of it, and we can rest in him. Verse number 27 of Proverbs 14. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that in the day of his ministry. To depart from the snares of death, namely eternal death. Amen. The snares of death. The sinner without Christ. The grave. Sin. The way of the world. Just grows up around that sinner and just drags them right on down to hell, doesn't it? But the child of God, the one that's been saved, is set free. Set free. Set free. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Verse 28, in the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. It's a simple thing. How can a king be a king if he has no one to rule over, huh? Yeah, if there's nobody to rule over. Guy might think that he's the greatest up-and-coming king and, you know, being a prince and that, but if he has no one to rule over, all he has is himself to impress. All he has is himself, right? And the multitude of people is the king's honor. When there's a great domain, who has a greater domain than the Lord? Right? And he will be honored, won't he? But in the one of people is the destruction of the prince. Verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Remember this. Remember this. We can be helped by this very much. Remember what it says here in verse number 17. Look up there. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Knee-jerk reactions, never good. Always think and seek the Lord's face before speaking and or acting. It's always the best. Verse 30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, covetousness, jealousy, envy, the rottenness of the bones. What's it say in Leviticus 17, verse 1? The life of the flesh is in the blood, and the heart gets the blood around in the body, doesn't it? Without a sound heart, our physical life is hurt, isn't it? The Lord knew about those things even way back then, didn't he? A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. We've seen this and dealt with it. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Honoring the Lord hath mercy on the poor. Verse 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. Driven away. His wickedness takes him farther and farther and farther from the Lord. Like those, the snares of death and that we talked about in verse number 27. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. Wickedness does nothing but take him further and further away from God. But the righteous hath hope in his death. Where death is swallowed up in victory. And we mentioned that the other day, didn't we? Talk about it Sunday. Where death, because of the Lord and salvation, by him, through him, and in him, because of him, death, which is the thing that the thing that we fear the most in our humanity, is the blessing to complete salvation in eternity, right? The salvation of the body. Where the thing that we fear the most is turned into a victorious thing. Only God could do that, couldn't he? I would seek to do it another way. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a hope. Amen. What a rest. Where the thing that we fear the most in our humanity becomes actually the blessing of eternity. Seeing our Lord, when we're absent from the body, the scripture says present with the Lord. Amen? We'll see our Savior face to face. Satan has no offering like that, does he? Satan does have a people, and Isaiah and Ezekiel say that he's destroying them. But our Lord, our Savior, has given us everlasting life. Everlasting life. In Job 19, you know this, verse 26 and 27. Job had this hope, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I'll see him. Job said, I'll see. I won't hear about others having seen him. I'll see him for myself. What a blessing. What a blessing and hope and rest that is. Amen. Verse number 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. If he's been blessed, taken the understanding of the Lord, the words of the Lord, the directive of the Lord, and taken that to heart, it's just a natural that wisdom will rest there. Believe in what the Lord says. No, saying, no, that doesn't apply today. That Solomon is so old fogey. I mean, after all, he lived hundreds of years ago. I tell you what, everything we've read is true, isn't it? As old as it is. Because it deals with mankind. It deals with the truth of God's word and with the God's standard of holiness and righteousness. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. If a man, woman, boy, or girl has the understanding of the Lord and the word of God, they will have wisdom. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. We've talked about this before when we saw it in chapter 12 and chapter 13. In chapter 13 it says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. That's a testimony to all this reality programming that we have today. They want to take this, the sordidness of life, and just puke it out there for the world to see. It's terrible, isn't it? Just terrible. In Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A fool, when he's enraged, he just wants to let everybody know. Has no discretion whatsoever. In verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. And the thing is, the Scripture's already told us that it's made known, and it's not much, is it? It's not much. And sure not pleasing to the Lord. And then this, our nation is in a terrible, terrible shape. And in dealing with this passage, the Lord blessed with some things I hadn't ever considered before. Maybe you have. But consider this, righteousness exalteth a nation. And that word exalteth means to be high actively, to rise or to raise. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's read here in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Look at this. Righteousness exalteth a nation, and let's look at these verses. Verse number 33 of chapter 15, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Okay, 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Okay, honor, there's humility before there's honor. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Okay, before there's honor, there's humility. Chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. That has been seen in our country, in the history of our country, hadn't it? And then let's skip over here to James chapter 4. We'll go ahead and read these passages and just put this together. You'll see it. James chapter 4, verse number 6. There's a principle here that we want to get from this. But he giveth more grace, James 4, 6, where he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Okay? It says here, righteousness exalteth a nation. Before there's honor, there's humility. Okay? And then 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. Scripture says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Righteousness, it says there in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. You know why righteousness exalteth a nation? Because righteousness is pursued by a nation by the humbling of men. See, when we believe what God says as a people, as families, as states, as a nation, when we believe what God says and we obey Him in it, we in that submit to Him. See, in submitting to what the Lord says is right, we put away evil from us, and by humbling ourselves to the righteousness of God, it can't help but exalt a nation. And that's the beginnings of our nation. That's what happened. Saved or not, men, and there were many that were saved, but saved or not, if the principles of God are obeyed, there will be help and a blessing. Because what happens is that man bows the knee to what God says is right, and rather than what self says, and the way of mankind, and the wickedness of mankind, the depravity of mankind, if we say yes to what the Lord says, there will be help and a blessing. And our nation, in days gone by, indeed hath been exalted. In our day, as blessed and great a nation as we are, and yet we're very fearful about one man in North Korea. And he threatens that he has great power. You know what? Had we been obedient as a nation to the Lord, He would take care of that. And we send all that military might over there and all that, and the day in which we live and the lack of the blessing of God upon our nation, do you not consider that all that could fall apart and we could still yet be exposed if we don't have the blessing of God? Taking the foundational institution of the home and marriage and doing what we're doing with it as a nation, and then we think that we have great power and might and our F-22 Raptors and the equipment that we send over there and that stuff can just fall apart like that. Because we're not, as a nation, we don't seek the Lord's face. Sin indeed is a reproach to any people. And we're not exempt in these United States. May the Lord help us in that. And then verse 35, I'm sure this could be applied today too. I hadn't thought about that. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. A king likes a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. I'll put a caveat with that. I don't disagree with the Word of God. But you know what? This is talking about a righteous king's favor. Understand that, if you will. An unrighteous king may not know what causes shame. Okay? Hear that? The verse says, the king's favor is towards a wise servant. And that is true. But his wrath is against him that causes shame, or that is disobedient. This king that's being talked about here in verse number 35, I believe, is talking about one that understands about righteousness and right things. Because remember what it says in Proverbs 29:12? If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Proverbs 29, verse 12, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Well, that's a stamp on our day, isn't it? Yeah. And we could go down the list, couldn't we? That marriage can be changed. That guns kill people. That the best way to solve our economic problems is to print more money. I mean, it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? That marriage and the family can be changed and we'll just be A-okay. Does he not hearken to lies? He does. You know what? The Scripture says all his servants, all those that work for him, are wicked. Right? Does not one that wins bring his administration with him. Wow. Heavy, huh? But true. May the Lord help us that we hear the Lord and believe the Lord, trust him in his word. When we don't understand about the scripture, may the Lord help us that we go to him and say, Lord, what's that mean? How does that apply? May the Lord help us that we as his children be filled up on his word and that we be helped with it and live in life. To know that these pithy maxims of the Lord, of the word of God, they are pertinent today. They will help us. They will bless us. They can give us understanding. Experience is not the best teacher. The Lord and what he says is the best teacher. The experience of others is the best teacher. Why should we go through a rough way to learn? Why don't we just hear wise words from the Lord and learn? Amen.